The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Locked and loaded on a Thursday. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take.
Friday Eve.
Did you hear my tease? I can't use it again.
Oh.
Right? The one and only Max Kellerman. Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. Monday Night Football's Louis Riddick. There he is, looking clean. How we doing, Lou? Good to have you with us.
I'm doing good. I've been watching y'all this week. Chris, you're doing a good job, man. Don't ever let Max get the best of you. Ever.
Look at this dude.
I got you, Lou. You know I'm not going back down
for anything.
Shows up, Max.
What are you taking a break from your job as a blackjack dealer?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Let's go fashion police. The 2021 schedule has been released. Yeah. Get fired up for it. And I got this juicy matchup for you. Tom Brady, the face of Fox 4, returning to face the coach who won 6 rings with Bill Belichick and possibly Cam Newton or the rookie Mac Jones at the helm. That goes down October 3rd. The Patriots ended the season with 7 wins, while we all know how Tampa Bay's season has ended. Max, what scenario is more likely? Brady repeats or Bill misses the playoffs again?
Right. Like, are they going to run it back again? Which scenario is more likely to run it back? That Belichick misses the playoffs again. And I like the Patriots. I like what they did. I think they have a good shot to make the playoffs. But the AFC East is suddenly no cupcake. Remember, for two decades, literally, Tom Brady, the best guy he ever had to face, was for a minute Chad Pennington when he was healthy. That was it. He never had to face, literally, never had to face a real quarterback in 20 years in that division. So what would happen with the Patriots? All they ever had to do was win one playoff game at home. And they're in the AFC Championship game. Boy, times have changed. Because you look around the AFC East, we'll see what happens with the Jets and Zach Wilson. I'm not hoping for much this season. But the Bills look like Super Bowl contenders. And the Dolphins do too to me, depending on how Tua develops. But I'll tell you what, Waddle's going to help them. They had a no-name defense that went after it. They have a much more dynamic offense now. Remember, these quarterbacks generally, year two is the development year. That's when they take off. Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins just won double digits. That's actually a very tough division, Chris, as you pointed out the other day.
Yeah, I said it was the toughest division in football. You took the NFC West. But, I mean, here's the thing. The Patriots are not going to go back-to-back seasons outside of the playoffs. It just ain't going to happen. Since Bill Belichick took the job, we haven't seen it, and that was 21 years ago. So I do anticipate them being able to make it back, which is why I'm going to say it's more likely that Tom Brady goes back-to-back. And I'm not going to say run it back, because I know how Bruce Arians feels about that. I'm saying that they're going to go for two and they're going to make it two based on what they have coming back. The first time a Super Bowl champ has returned all 22 starters, and we saw that they signed Antonio Brown as well. When you look at what their schedule was when the NFL released it last night, the Patriots, they have the easiest strength of schedule of any of the playoff teams from a year ago, and they don't play but one playoff team in the first 6 weeks of the season. Plus, they have the bye week falling exactly where they want it. But beyond all of that, the fact that this group is coming back together, that they do have continuity and they do have the confidence coming off of a Super Bowl win, that's going to mean a whole lot to them this coming season. Because as somebody that's won a Super Bowl, I know what it feels like going into that next season having the formula for success. This Patriots team is not going to be as bad as it was, but this Buccaneers team, they're ready to rock and roll and make another title push.
Yeah, things sure are set up for Tampa Bay, aren't they? It looks like, look, the scheduling gods hooked them up. They hooked them up right out of the gate. They gave them a Thursday night game. Then they gave them basically two byes, because, you know, when you have the Thursday night game, then you have 10 days in between the first game and your second game. So they'll use that to kind of be able to catch their breath a little bit, see how that first game went, and then attack Atlanta as their first divisional matchup and then get on going. And then they have the bye right in the middle of the season, which is just perfect. You know how many teams have byes that are like week 13, week 14? Teams that are playing 13 games, basically a long college football season on top of 3 preseason games before they even get a chance to take a breath. I mean, think of the NFC East. Think of the way their schedules are set up. Think of the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni, you know, the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, he's probably sitting there going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They set me up like this in my maiden voyage as a head coach? Look, Tampa Bay has it all working for them in order for them to go ahead and try and have a repeat scenario play out for them. As far as New England is concerned, I don't think there's any chance that they miss the playoffs, okay? I think these are two separate conversations. I just don't think there's any chance. I think this football team now, fundamentally, is built the way Bill has always wanted it to be built, which is the inside out, from front to back. The offensive and defensive lines are strong. The running game is going to be strong. They are never again going to have happen to them what they had happened to them late in the season last year when the Miami Dolphins just said, you know what? We're not even going to throw the football. We're just going to run this thing down your throat to the tune of like 300-plus yards rushing on the ground. We're going to make it look like the old 1978 Oklahoma Sooners against the Kansas Jayhawks, and we're just going to go ahead and embarrass you. Because I have to remember, we talked to Bill after that had happened to Miami before they played Buffalo late in the season on Monday Night Football. He fundamentally changed this football team from a personnel standpoint. They are going to come out swinging this year. They are going to wind up, I think they're going to wind up getting a wild card spot, if not challenged for the AFC East crown, and they'll be back to their old winning ways.
Well, look, I think they are planning to win a Super Bowl this year. Like, that's the mission, and they have chances. I think people are sleeping on Cam. But the question is, what's more likely, right? They are in a tough division. I don't know whether they are the best, second best, or third best team in their own division. But now let's talk for a second about the Bucs. Yes, they have a cupcake schedule. Yes, they will make the playoffs. And Drew Brees isn't even there anymore to compete against Tom Brady. Beat him twice in the regular season, not when it mattered most. But look at the other teams in the NFC before we even get to the AFC, talking about repeat as champions. And I know a whole season with Antonio Brown, you know, that's a whole, people aren't even really conceptualizing how much better he may make them that way. But everyone in the NFC West has been in the Super Bowl recently, except Arizona, who looks a lot better to me on paper now in Kyler Murray's third year. And that's the year the quarterbacks usually turn into superstars. And I look at the Rams with Stafford, and I think of what McVay did with Goff and how much better he perceives Stafford than Goff. Here's two firsts and a third and Goff for Stafford. That offense is going to be a whole lot of, and we already know about that defense. You think LaFleur is going to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands with the game on the line again? Because the Packers could have won that game against the Bucs. Not to mention, when you get to the Super Bowl, if Kansas City's waiting for you, and I believe they will be, guys, he ain't running for his life on every play anymore. They revamped that offensive line, got the best guy on the market at guard, left guard, and the best left tackle on the trade market. That's a whole different ball game. No, the Bucs are loaded, and they have chances. But repeating is really hard in this NFL.
Yeah, repeating is hard, Max. But when you look at this Tampa Bay team, I just feel like it's all set up for them to be able to do so. I mean, when you look at it, Tom Brady has been in the conference championship game 9 out of the last 10 years. So, I mean, that means he's in the Final Four. So he's going to have a chance to compete at a really high level. And beyond that, the organization is committed to giving him whatever he wants. That Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is going to be better. That young secondary with continuity is going to continue to improve. They added on the defensive line. That offensive line with Tristan Wirfs, they should be better with having a year's worth of work together under their belt. Like, this group is going to progress. They're not going to stay the same. They're going to improve. And one of the biggest things that happened in Tampa last year was Tom Brady with the culture change. They now expect to win. They understand what it takes to win, the kind of work that they have to put in week to week in order to be consistent. And they're also going to understand that everybody in the NFL is looking at them differently because they're the champs. And you know why? Because Tom Brady has experience being the hunted under those circumstances. So I get it. Only 8 teams in the history of the NFL have ever repeated as champions, but Tom Brady was one of those teams, and that's why I think the Bucs have a really good shot at doing it in 2021.
Yeah, what's really interesting also about them is this. Look, this is a team that, quite honestly, at the end of last year, everyone was looking at as really, when you think about the head coach in his methodology and his philosophical approach to really letting the players take charge of the football team. Look, Bruce talked about the fact that he stepped back and in many instances allowed Tom to coach the football team. I think they're on the cutting edge in that regard. I think offensively and defensively, from a coordinator standpoint, look, they have both guys returning. Todd Bowles didn't get a head coaching job. Byron Leftwich didn't get a head coaching job. How many times do you see that happen? How many times do you see a team that wins the Super Bowl have both coordinators return? Keith Armstrong returns as a special teams coordinator. They have everything back in place in terms of key decision makers on the coaching staff, people in the front office. No one poached their front office either. Jason Light has his entire staff back together again. As long as this team stays healthy, given how the schedule sets up for them, I think it's definitely more likely that they go ahead and make a repeat and run it back again and win a second Super Bowl title than it is for New England to miss the playoffs. Because I'll just say this, flipping over to that side of the equation here in terms of this debate, New England is not missing the playoffs. They're just not.
Okay, fair enough. We will leave it there, and we'll continue this conversation a little bit later with three-time Super Bowl champ Teddy Bruschi. Guys, right now, let's head to Green Bay next. The Packers have 5 primetime games in 2021, so it may lead you to believe Aaron Rodgers may take his first snap in Green Bay, right? But listen to former Packers Super Bowl-winning coach Mike Holmgren on how he thinks Rodgers has been treated.
I think that it's been mishandled a little bit. I think that goes without saying. But I think in fairness to your star player, the guy that you have who has been with you the whole time, you owe him the at least the opportunity to be involved in maybe the decision-making. If I was coaching, I'd go in the office and say, I got to keep him happy. You can't have that guy be unhappy on your football team. He's got to be the leader. I never thought Joe Montana would play someplace else. I never thought Brett Favre would play someplace else.
All right, let's start with the football players here. We'll go Chris and then Lou. Do you think Rodgers will finish his career as a Packer?
Molly, I'm going to say he does finish his career as a Packer, but I'm not saying it with my chest like I did earlier this week. I've gone back and forth on this whole thing with Aaron Rodgers because it just feels like with every day we get new information that changes my opinion on it. Like yesterday, you heard Adam Schefter say the NFL was intentional in terms of scheduling the Packers' primetime games because they've been doing some calling around as well. And from their perspective, this is up in the air whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to work for the Green Bay Packers this fall. Then you couple that with the news that they did sign Blake Bortles yesterday. Blake Bortles is more than just a camp arm. I'm not going to sit here and say that Blake Bortles is going to be the starting quarterback and lead the Packers to the playoffs, but Blake Bortles is at least a competent quarterback that can share the quarterback room with Jordan Love. So, I mean, there's a lot of information that would point toward Aaron Rodgers potentially not coming back with the Packers. But here's why I land on him coming back. It's because when you look at all the potential destinations that Aaron Rodgers could be traded to, the best team that gives him a chance to compete for a championship is the Green Bay Packers. If he gets traded to the AFC, you look at that conference, it's flush with quarterbacks. It's flush with teams that are up and coming that are going to contend for a championship. You got the Chiefs. You got the Browns. You got the Buffalo Bills. There are a lot of good teams in that conference. When you look at the NFC, I mean, the Packers would be on the short list of teams that you would call true title contenders with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams. So for that reason, I feel like Aaron lands back with the Packers just because he understands that's the team that gives him the best chance at a chip.
Okay, Lewis.
Look, I don't think Aaron – yeah, I'm just going to say – I don't think Aaron finishes his career with the Green Bay Packers. I think he's going to – I think this year – I think he plays for Green Bay. I think they'll figure out a way in order to appease him monetarily in order for them to maybe get one more year out of it. But I don't think – look, the plan – and it was okay. I'm okay with the plan that they had as far as drafting his successor and planning for the future. That's what Brian Gutekunst is supposed to do. That's what every general manager is supposed to do. So I never had an issue with that plan. It's just the manner in which the plan was carried out. And as soon as you lose awareness as a front office executive and as a principal decision maker, as soon as you lose awareness as to the power that players have and the leverage that they have to demand different treatment, the quicker you are going to be on the street and or occupying a lower level position in a front office again, because you're going to kind of lose control of your football team and lose sight of what's really important in terms of team building. And that is, as Mike Holmgren alluded to, making sure that your superstars are happy. And that's the mistake that they made. The mistake was not drafting Jordan Love. The mistake is not telling your Hall of Fame quarterback that this is what the plan is. You understand how this business works. It worked for you that way when we drafted you. and Brett was still here, we're giving you the respect of letting you know that, look, we're not trying to ship you out the door right now, but we have to plan for the future. We don't know what your future holds as far as, you know, how many more years you can play because we're in uncharted territory. And I know everyone's saying, well, look at what Tom's doing. Quarterbacks can play until they're 55, 60, 70 years old now. But we can't take that chance. That would be irresponsible on our part. That's what they needed to do, and they didn't do it, and that's why they're in the position that they are now. But I do think he will play somewhere else. It's just a matter of when and how that happens. But I don't think he's going to finish his career in Green Bay because that's not what they intended, and I'm okay with that. It's just the way in which they're going to arrive at that.
I do think he's going to finish his career in Green Bay now, and I'm with Chris. I go back and forth, but at this moment, I do think. And, Chris, it's something you said the other day. The fact is, Rodgers didn't like the fact that the end of his tenure at Green Bay was being dictated by the team. He said, nope, I'm going to dictate this. But now think about it, guys. You never thought Montana or Brett Favre would go somewhere else, right? You heard a coach say that?
Peyton Manning.
I'm getting to all that. Joe Montana, there was Steve Young waiting in the wings. Brett Favre, there was Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings. Hall of Famer waiting in the wings. And you knew at the time the team thought very highly of them. Peyton Manning was coming off injury. They drafted Andrew Luck, the number one draft pick like ever, right? And maybe if he kept playing, he could have made the Hall of Fame one day. He was really good. They had those guys. And so they wound up on other teams. Tom Brady, what was it? They didn't give him the bag. He said, give me the bag. And Belichick said, no, come on. You know how we do this. You're too old. You're not going to earn the money over those horizons. Because the size of the guarantee in the NFL depends on how many more years that you think they could be really good. That's why running backs don't get paid after their rookie deal. They go, eh, you got 2 or 3 years left. Here's a $30 million. How much do you want us to guarantee? You're not going to be great till you're 35, right? But here's the thing with Rodgers now. I always thought it was more about business than even he realized. People who talked to Aaron Rodgers thought, oh, he's out of there. But I always thought, and I haven't spoken to him, I always thought he doesn't even realize how much of this is about business. As an employee, when the employer puts a number on you, it feels personal. Never mind the way they went about it, which, as Lewis detailed, was all backwards. It was bass-ackwards, as they say. But now what happened? What are we hearing now? The Packers are trying to make Aaron Rodgers the biggest guarantee in the history of football to keep playing quarterback. The most guaranteed money, which is what I've been saying all along, would be the second step. The first step is hat in hand. We're sorry. We messed up. We want your input. And now, here's the bag. But what does the bag mean? You know what that means? You got to guarantee money for 4 more years. That means they don't believe in Jordan Love. They look at Jordan Love and say, nope, that's not Aaron Rodgers. That's not Steve Young. That's not Andrew Luck. We can't move on from Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of that contract, if Rodgers is 40, 41 years old, he has other interests. I don't think he wants to play until they rip the uniform off him. I think he'll decide how long he plays, and I think he will sign the contract they offer him, and that'll be the last one he signs.
Yeah, if it winds up playing out that way, Max, then there's going to be some people in Green Bay who are going to be looking for new jobs. And they should be looking for new jobs, because if you wound up moving up to draft the heir apparent, you haven't seen him play yet at all. And then you wind up taking, you know, pulling a, you know, flipping the switch, or rather just kind of like flipping over in terms of what you thought of what Jordan Love could possibly be. And then going, you know what, maybe you aren't a guy. And Aaron, you know what, maybe we were wrong in terms of trying to plan for the future. And maybe you're going to be a lot better moving forward than what we thought you were going to be. And now we're going to go ahead and pay you the richest guarantee, or the, you know, the greatest guarantee in the history of football, regardless of position. Then I'll tell you this, maybe you shouldn't be in position to be making those decisions. And that goes for Brian Gutekunst, that goes for Mark Murphy, that goes for the entire decision-making structure up there in Green Bay. And that's not me sitting here hating on Aaron Rodgers saying he doesn't deserve the money, because look, I've been on both sides of it. I know the front office perspective, I know the player's perspective. And players should maximize cash to themselves every single chance they get. It is not their job to manage the salary cap. It's not their job to do, you know, to sit there and look out for the football team as far as their earnings potential. So he should absolutely get every single cent, every single dollar that he can. But if they wind up doing that, then immediately someone up there in Green Bay should be replaced, because that is poor, poor team management, roster building, salary cap management, the whole thing. They should just go ahead and get some other people in there to make some decisions, because that would make no sense to me whatsoever. That to me reeks of an emotional overreaction and poor planning in the first place, and you don't really know how to go about handling these kind of high-profile situations.
You know why I would disagree with that real quick, Lewis? I would disagree with that only because those kind of incentives, which everyone's aware of, is what keeps so many GMs from doing the right thing. They know, well, I'm tied to this decision now. If I go back, I lose my job. And what Chris said earlier, and Chris, I'll give it to you, is on the other hand, you're right about this situation, which is a huge blunder. On the other hand, they were preparing for the future, even if clumsily, and they have put together a really good team, a really well-balanced team, both sides of the ball, that has been in the NFC Championship game two consecutive years, and I would say does give Aaron Rodgers probably one of the five best chances. If you look around the league, the Packers are the top five chance to win a Super Bowl. So on the other hand, they've done a good job.
No, you're absolutely right, Max. And to take it a step further, even though it would be a bad look if the Packers did move on from Jordan Love and give Aaron Rodgers that contract, it would be a worse look for the Packers if they let an MVP walk out of the building and they're forced to trade him. So I don't think this thing gets fixed unless they do something with the Aaron Rodgers contract. And I think that has to do more with them recognizing the value in what he brings to the organization than Aaron Rodgers wanting more money. If you think back to what James Jones and Davante Adams had to say, they both brought up the respect issue. And we know in the NFL, the way you show a player you respect them is by how you pay him. And with Aaron Rodgers, he was in a situation where he didn't feel like the organization valued what he brought
to the
table.
And by the way, at the time, he was coming off the worst season of his career, new coach. They didn't know he was going to throw 48 touchdowns to five interceptions and win the MVP.
No, you're absolutely right, Max. And here's the thing. It's not like we haven't seen coaches in recent years move off of their succession plan at quarterback in order to stay with the incumbent. Bill Belichick did it with the New England Patriots. How'd that work out for him?
You know what would be interesting to hear, though? I would love to hear them kind of explain what it was that led them to believe that Aaron Rodgers' future projection is for, in terms of his performance, was not, you know, as rosy as maybe they think it is now. Why? Mm-hmm. What led them to believe that maybe he was on the downswing? Maybe he was nearing the end of his career. Why is it that they felt compelled to move up and draft Jordan Love? Why do they think that the time was right to do that right now? And now all of a sudden it's, well, you know what? Maybe we were just dead wrong. Aaron does have three or four more years. Signing him to a big contract extension is not going to prohibit us from doing the other things that we need to do in terms of making sure that this roster stays competitive in the future. And we're just going to go with it that way. And you know what, Jordan? Sorry. We made a blunder as far as our evaluation, both of Aaron and of you. And hey, let's just wash our hands of it and move forward, because the last thing we want to do is tick off our surefire Hall of Fame quarterback. I'd love to know what those discussions were like and how they arrived at this decision that ultimately put him in this situation in the first place.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you look at a team like the Saints, they don't really have anyone.
Well, it'll be a 30 for 30 someday, you know, so we'll find out. Yeah. We'll find out one day. We may have to wait a little while, but it'll be a 30 for 30.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for quick takes. Let's go.
though. Max Kellerman, how worried should the West be of Luka Magic?
Well, they should be worried. And I know they haven't played well this year. They didn't look good. But a lot of that, they've been snake bit by COVID, by Porzingis' injury. And this is the kind of team that is just going to have to get lucky with timing in terms of injuries. And guess who's back? Porzingis. They were better than the Clippers in last year's playoffs. Clippers got lucky, and Porzingis got hurt.
Chris, will Damian Lillard finally get the Blazers to the finals?
No, Molly, and if he's not careful, Damian Lillard might not get the Trailblazers out of the first round of the playoffs, depending on the draw. Listen, as much as I want to see Dame time, I think he's one of the most fun players to watch in the NBA. He's electric. The guy is a walking bucket. If they've got to play the Clippers, I just don't trust that. You're talking about a team that's worst in assists in the NBA and second to last in defensive rating. So you mean to tell me that there are no easy buckets because they don't share the ball and they can't stop anybody? Going to be a tough time for the Blazers.
Max, the Lakers stars didn't play, but they won anyway. Does it matter where they end up in the standings?
No, the only important thing for the Lakers is health. That's it. If they are fully healthy, I believe they get out of the West no matter how they go. And as a matter of fact, they may be better off in the playing game and avoiding the Clippers in the first round going in cold with everyone coming back at the same time, get a little warmed up, then take on the Suns or the Jazz instead.
So the Lakers are currently the seventh seed out West, but trail the Mavericks by one game for the sixth spot, which would get them out of the play-in tournament. As things currently stand, LA would face Steph and the Warriors in the play-in tournament. Let's keep it rolling. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. James Harden returned for the first time since April 5th, where he only played 4 minutes with that right hamstring. In a win against the Lakers, Kyrie did not play. We've only seen the big three on the court together 7 times this season, and they last took the floor together 3 months ago, February 13th. Harden, talk to me.
Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do.
Max, is James Harden right?
Not only is he right, and I never thought he was a selfish player. My problem with Harden is he choked in the biggest moments in the playoffs. He choked, period. I don't apologize for that. And I said the same thing about Steph. He was a lesser version of himself, right? But then what happened against Toronto? Actually, Steph started hitting big shots in the finals when it mattered most. Just because you were like that once upon a time doesn't mean like you're doomed to be that for the rest of your life. Not only is Harden right about himself, listen up. James Harden is going to win finals MVP this season. He's going to be the finals MVP. And the secret sauce over there, you know what this team really is? This is the D'Antoni Harden Rockets, but they traded for KD and Kyrie. This is James Harden and D'Antoni came to a Game 7 at home. Missed 27 straight threes in that game. No Chris Paul. They only lost by single digits to the KD, Steph, Clay, Dre Warriors. And now Harden, with D'Antoni sitting on the bench running that pick and roll, has KD and Kyrie as weapons. Never mind Joe Harris. They are going to stomp through the Eastern Conference, stomp whoever they see in the finals. James Harden's going to win finals MVP.
Kendrick Perkins, what do you have to say about this?
Well, it's a lot of things, Molly, and here it is, right? Did I just hear Max Kellerman say that Steph Curry hit big shots in the finals when it mattered the most? Did he
against
just
Toronto.
Say that?
I said that yesterday, no. too, against Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Well, I thought the argument and debate here, I don't listen. First thing first is that the Eastern Conference is not that easy like you think it is, okay? The Milwaukee Bucks are really, really good. So is the Philadelphia 76ers. They will not be an easy out. So the road to the finals for the Nets is going to be a lot tougher than the road to the finals for the Los Angeles Lakers, in my opinion. Let me make that very clear. Second of all, I'm going to say this. Before injury, I said that, you know what, James Harden is the best basketball player in the world right now. He's playing True. The best basketball. But he got hurt. And guess what? Steph Curry came to light, okay? He is the best. Steph Curry is the best basketball player in the world today. It's no other guy doing what he does with the personnel that he has. He is carrying this Warriors team, okay? If Steph Curry was not on this team, they would be in the lottery. I just watched them play against the Phoenix Suns, and it was multiple possessions, but one in particular, okay? I'm used to superstars getting double-teamed, maybe even triple-teamed. They had four players on one possession guarding Steph Curry, completely ignoring everybody else. That is just signs of respect and greatness. Steph Curry, in my opinion, is the best player on the planet Earth today.
Let me tell you what's unfair about that real quick, Chris. Let me just jump you just for a second. What's unfair about that is when Steph was on a super-duper team, the likes of which we have never seen, when they won 73 games and then got KD, right? Steph's so great and everything. Harden was playing with nobody compared to what Steph had. Nobody. And yet, the Rockets should have won that series. Game 7, they downed Chris Paul. They didn't have a squad to compete with that Warriors team. How did they do it? Harden and D'Antoni almost beat him. Just James Harden, really. And they had an awful game. Still only lost by single digits, right? So now it's flipped. Now Steph doesn't have the squad. He's a little over 500. And Harden's crewed up. And now that's held against James Harden? No. You were right the first time, Perk. The level at which Harden makes everyone around him better is LeBron James-like. Not light, like. It's like LeBron. Game for game this season, he's been the best player on earth. I expect that to continue in the playoffs.
Max, you know how much I love what James Harden has been doing this season. A lot of people doubted him when they made the trade from Houston, wondering if he can fall into that role of being able to facilitate the greatness of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But Max, you do this all the time. You took it one step too far. Because although I do think James Harden is the most important piece to this Nets team when it comes to title contention, make no mistake about it. It's all about Kevin Durant when it comes winning time. I mean, we saw Kevin Durant in 2016 join a dynastically great team in the Golden State Warriors. And what did you see Steph and Klay do? They all deferred to Kevin Durant. So if the Nets are going to win a championship when it comes to those crunch time plays, just give the ball to number 7 in isolation and move out of the way. He doesn't need James Harden to set him up at that point. So as much as I love James Harden and what he's been able to do, and then seeing what he did last night, being able to come off of a 19-game absence and being able to almost drop a triple-double, 3 rebounds short, it was impressive. But Kevin Durant is still the best player on this team. And I think after this playoffs is all said and done, Kevin Durant is going to show that he's the second best player in the world behind LeBron James.
You can't.
You know what gets me about you, Max, is this, okay? I remember, man, last year, it was you, I, and Big Swaggoo, Big Marcus Spears on here, and we were debating about who's the better basketball player between James Harden and Steph Curry. Forget winning championships and all that. We said, who's the better all-around basketball player between Steph Curry and James Harden? And Swaggoo and I, Big Marcus Spears, literally lost our mind. We lost our mind debating with you, telling you that James Harden is the better all-around player than Steph Curry, and you argued us down and was
and that upsets you. That upsets you.
I mean, yeah.
I'd like to read something. Anyone who doesn't follow Kendrick Perkins on Twitter, you're missing out. Kendrick Perkins is a beast on Twitter. Under 24 hours ago, less than a day ago, 19 hours to be precise, Kendrick Perkins tweeted the following. Don't get it twisted for a second. I call it how I see it, all caps, in the moment. But I'll switch it up if things change. Oh, so Kendrick Perkins, let me quote Big Perk. I switch it up if things change. And you know what changed? James Harden went to a team where he was not tasked every night with scoring 50 points to get the win. And what he showed is he could play with others in a way that elevates everyone beyond where almost anyone who's ever lived has done it. Perk, you can even look at guys like Magic and LeBron. You know what they can't do? Shoot like James Harden. James Harden showed the court vision, the leadership, the scoring from anywhere, unlike I'd ever seen before. He raised his game this year, and he's ahead of Steph Curry.
Max, he done this. He was doing the same thing in Houston with less talent. What are you talking about?
Well, maybe.
We're talking about a guy in one season that led the league in assists who averaged 28 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. And then he went on to averaging 35 points and 34 points and 33 points and still dishing out dimes. Max, what are you talking about? I told you that James Harden has history under his belt for his having 60-point triple-doubles.
He you shouldn't be flip-flopping right now.
Okay.
Don't Max, flip-flop. Stay with your dude because Harden is proving it. If it was the case that he just wasn't given the opportunity to prove what he's proving now, fine. But then
the
stick
Nets
with your guy.
The Nets are 20-7 when Harden plays. Listen. The only person who stays consistent on this show, that would be me. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
To the NFL, several teams have their bye week later in the season, including the Browns and Packers in week 13 and the Colts, Dolphins, and Patriots in week 14. Five teams will be on the move this season as the 49ers, Seahawks, Jaguars, Rams, and Chargers are the only teams that will travel more than 25,000 miles. And the Bears are not scheduled to play consecutive games either at home or on the road this season for the first time in franchise history. They alternate home and road every week, all season long. That is tough. And now you might remember that the Chicago Bears signed veteran quarterback Pro Bowler Andy Dalton. And obviously, they named him starter just before they traded up and picked Justin Fields. Louis Riddick back here with us. Chris, I will start with you. Should Justin Fields start week one?
Yeah, Molly. He should be the week one starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And I know that everybody is saying the Rams are a really tough opponent. It was the number one defense from a year ago. But Matt Nagy's responsibility is to try to put this team in position where they can have success. And guess what? Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, their general manager, they don't have the luxury of time. So I get that you don't want to rush the development of a young quarterback, but it's going to be up to him to get him up to speed and to make sure that he builds an offense around what Justin Fields does well early in his career. If you look at where this Bears organization is at right now, they need a shot in the arm. And Justin Fields is the guy to give it to him. It's not Andy Dalton. It ain't Nick Foles. It's going to have to be this dude. Last year, the Bears had the worst quarterback play in their division. And had Andy Dalton been their quarterback last year, instead of Foles or Trubisky, guess what? They still would have had the worst quarterback play in the division. I get that you look at this defense and you saw a little bit of slippage, but I think their defensive regression had a lot more to do with the lack of confidence on the offensive side of the ball than that group not being any good. So to me, you got to infuse some confidence into this club, and that means Justin Fields being your week one starter.
Well, I realize you've played 11 years in the NFL, Chris, and won a Super Bowl with my New York Football Giants, my beloved Big Blue. But I did once win the Super Bowl simulating the season in Madden franchise mode, so I think I have some credibility here on this issue. Chris Canty, I'm very disappointed in you right now. You won a Super Bowl with who? Who was your quarterback?
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning, who was the number one overall draft pick. The Giants traded Rivers, the fourth pick, and a bunch of stuff for him. Did he start his rookie year? I know times have changed, but don't you think he benefited from having Kurt Warner start those, 8-10 games before he got the ball? Right? Don't you think that better? And do you know why that is so important? You know it better than I do. The last thing you want is to start a rookie quarterback, and then he's not really ready to hold it down in a permanent way, particularly behind the line who can't protect the passer. They were awful last year. That's why Nick Foles had a pocket to step into. He could throw it down the field, no pocket. Trubisky could move around so he could run for his life. But Justin Fields can do both, right? That's why he is an excellent idea for this Bears team in the long run. Even maybe later on in the season. Should he start week one? If he proves it in camp, yeah. Then if he wins the job in camp, fine. But he's got to win the job. He's got to win the job. Because Justin Fields and the Bears' mission is very simple. He's got to take the ball and not give it up for the next 10 to 15 years and win a Super Bowl. And by the way, they got a hellified defense. So no, you don't just start Justin Fields week one. He's got to earn it. If he does, fine. but he's got to be ready.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think this is a decision that has to come organically. It has to come naturally. It can't be forced. There cannot be agendas. There cannot be a situation where either Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace are trying to just save their jobs and trying to throw a young man out there that isn't really ready to play and isn't ready to play behind, as Max alluded to, an offensive line that last year I saw up close and personal. You know, I wouldn't want to start a young quarterback behind that version of the offensive line. So we need to see whether or not this current version of the offensive line is markedly improved over what they put out there last year. Because that's not going to serve anyone's best interest. It's not going to serve Matt Nagy's best interest, Ryan Pace's best interest. And if for damn sure it wouldn't serve Justin Fields' best interest if he went out there and one wasn't ready necessarily as far as having a great grasp of the current version of the Bears offense, and two, couldn't protect himself behind an offensive line that last year, quite honestly, let them down both in the run game and in pass protection. So I think this is something that Matt is aware of. I think it's something that he has already spoken to as far as what it will take in order for him to feel comfortable putting Justin out there. He's aware of the fact that he's under the gun. He's aware of what the expectations are for 2021 relative to his own job status. But I think he wants to do the right thing, both for the short term, meaning they want to be competitive and make the playoffs again in 2021, and in the long term, which is have a quarterback that they can get through 2-3 contracts, play 10, 15 years, and ultimately bring Super Bowl championships back to the city of Chicago. So I think this is something that's going to take place organically that may not be what people want to hear, but I think that's what they're committed to doing, and that is the right thing for them to do.
I hear both of you guys' concerns, and I'm agreeing that they are legitimate, but at the same time, I also acknowledge that this is the National Football League. If you're waiting for things to be ideal before you put in a young quarterback, then you're going to be waiting for an awfully long time. And when you look at Justin Fields and the skill set that he has and just the overall talent, to me, he clearly presents an opportunity to upgrade the quarterback position. And a part of why you pay the guy with the headset on is to help you mitigate some of the deficiencies on your team. Also, the reason why you move up from 20 to 11 to draft a player like Justin Fields is because you know that quarterback has the talent to help your team overcome some of the shortcomings. So the offensive line is a sore spot for the Chicago Bears, but having a quarterback that can extend the down by using his legs, that can get outside of the pocket, that can give you second reaction plays, opportunities for some of those explosives, I think that's the direction that this Bears team has to be going.
But Justin Fields could turn out to be a great quarterback. Like, you can't – there are some guys you could rule out, but he's not going to be a great quarterback. Justin Fields could turn out to be great. And the last thing you want to do – because, by the way, Andy Dalton, quiet as kept, little better than giving credit for right now. He was bad in the beginning with the Cowboys. He got better and better. And the last thing you're going to want is the Bears are really struggling. And all of a sudden, it's like maybe we need to not start him for a couple weeks. And now you got Andy Dalton. What if Andy Dalton plays well and the Bears wind up in a playoff hunt? Or even just it really is not good for the development of the confidence of the player, or maybe not his development period. You don't want any of those problems. You don't want that mess with a quarterback who, if you do it right, has a chance to be great.
Yeah, Chris, I know what you're saying, that you know, if you keep waiting for an ideal situation and wait for things to be perfect, you may be waiting forever. It may never come. But I think at the same time, look, we also go on these shows and we know this. We know that you can ruin quarterbacks by throwing them to the wolves and putting them in situations that really they are not set up to succeed. And that's not to say that the Bears can't be set up to succeed and that the offensive line can't come along and that the running game can't be developed to the point where it complements a young quarterback, because I believe it can. And I believe they have tried to address some of those situations. I'm just saying this. I don't think you can go into this already having predetermined when it is that he goes out there on the football field. I don't think it would be wise to just say, hey, look, you're the starter. Come hell or high water, regardless of how this offensive line looks or how this offense is gelling overall, you're the starter. I think you need to let it play out. Make sure he earns it. Make sure Juan Castillo, the offensive line coach, continues to bring along this offensive line. And then if it's, you know, from a collective decision-making process and from a collective decision-making standpoint, you feel it's time to put him out there, then put him out there. And you know what? If that's week one, two, or three, then put him out there. I'm just saying,
but
let
it play out. But he got to win the job.
Now, I'm completely with you guys. The one thing that I will say is, with the team like Matt Nagy has with the Chicago Bears, if they don't feel like that locker room, if they don't feel like you're putting them in a position where they can have success, then it's going to be trouble in terms of their coach. being able to have some confidence of the guys in the locker room
might need another coach.
Progresses. I'm just saying.